Today's shiur, today's lesson is Perik Echad V'Esrim V'Hilchos Ishus, chapter 21 of the laws concerning marriage. Halacha Aleph. Mitzias Ha'isha U'maisa Yadeha L'Baila. That which a woman finds, as well as her handiwork, belongs to her husband. The reason for this is that the rabbis decided that in order to prevent any type of enmity between the husband and wife, anything she finds should go to the husband, because the husband does give her food, provides for her sustenance. Umahi oselo, and what is the wife required to do for the husband? Hakol kaminig hamadina, it all depends on the custom of the region. Malkum shadarkin lerog, oreges, lirkom, rokemes, litvos semer, opishtim, tove. Where the custom is for wives to weave, she must weave. If the custom is to embroider, she must embroider. If it is to spin wool or flax, she must spin. V'im lo haya derech neshei ha'ir lasas kol hamlachas ha'elu, eina kofa elo litfos hatzemer bulvad. And if it is not the custom of the women of that town to do all these kinds of work, he cannot compel her to do any of them, with one exception, that is spinning wool only. And the reason for this is, shehapishtan mazik es hapeh v'es hasvasayim, v'hatviya hi hamlacha hamyichedus lanashim, because flax injures the mouth and the lips, for spinning is a kind of work that is characteristic of women, as it is said in the book of Exodus, and all women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands, and that is taken from the creation, the building of the Mishkan. And because this is the characteristic of women, that is the only thing that the husband is legally obligated, can legally obligate his wife to do for him. Halacha Beis, paragraph 2. Dachka atzma v'asasa yosem in haroyela hamosa labal. If the wife exerts herself and she performs more work than is proper for her, whatever is left over, the surplus belongs to the husband. Hayela mamen harbe afilo hayela kamish vachos eina yosheves levatala b'lo malacha. Even if the husband, or some manuscripts have it, even if the wife was very wealthy, she had a lot of money, and even if she had many maidservants that can do all the work she needs, she is not allowed to sit idle without doing any work. Shehabatala mevila dezima, because being idle can lead to immorality. Aval ein kofen osa lasas malacha kol hayom kulo, elu lefi rov hamamon mematis b'malacha. However, one cannot compel her to do work the entire day, but she may reduce her work in proportion to her wealth. Halacha Gimel, paragraph 3. Hamadir es ishto shalotase malacha klal, yotzi v'yitin ksuba, shahabatala mevila dezima. If a man subjects his wife to a vow that she should not do any work at all, he must give her a get, divorce her, and he is obligated to give her her ksuba. She's entitled to collect the ksuba, because idleness leads to immorality. V'chein kol isha rechetes labayla panav yadav v'raglav u'mozeges lo asarkos u'matzas lo ashamita v'omedes u'mishameshes b'fnei bayla. The Rambam continues with other obligations that the wife has to her husband. Every wife must likewise wash her husband's face, hands and feet, pour his cup for him, spread his couch, and wait on him. Kigon shetitin lo mayim o kli o titol mufanav v'kayotze b'dvarim elu. For example, she waits on him by handing him water or a vessel or removing these things from him and the like. Aval eino omedes mishameshes b'fnei aviv o b'fnei b'no. She is not obligated, however, to wait on his father or his son. Halacha Dala, paragraph 4. O malachas eilu osa osan hiba atzma. V'afilu haya lakam shvachos. Ein osan malachas eilu labal ele ishto. And these types of work she must do herself, personally, and even if she has many maidservants, they should not do this type of work for the husband, but the wife should do it instead. Halacha Hey, paragraph 5. Yesh malachos acheru shahaisha osa labayla bizman shehim aniyim ve'elu hein. There are other types of work that a wife must do for her husband when they are poor, and these are the types of work she must do. Ofa hapas betanur, that she must bake the bread in an oven. Ezra tikein shetia isha mashkemes for ofa kadei shetia hapas mitzuya la'aniim. Ezra, the scribe, instituted that a woman should wake up early and bake her bread, so that bread should always be available for poor people. In addition, umavashelas as tavshilin, umachabesas as habagadim, umanika as bina. She must cook food, she must wash the clothing, and she must nurse her son. Vinosenas tevin lefnei behemto, avalo lefnei bekaro. She must put food before her husband's mount, but not before his cattle. In other words, the animal that he uses for riding, she must place food in front of it, because that's for the husband himself. But for his cattle, they're going to be used for plowing, they are not directly in the service of the husband's person, she doesn't have to provide food for them. Umatchenes, and she also has to grind. Ketzed matchenes, how does she grind? Yoshevas berechayim umishameres hakemach, ve'ena tochenes. The way she attends to the grinding is by sitting at the flour mill and watching the flour, not by doing the grinding herself. Omechameres achar habehema, kadei shalo yiftlu harichayim. Or by driving the beasts so that the mill would not stand idle. But she doesn't have to do the grinding herself, because that is too much work. She doesn't have to take the place of the animal, obviously. If the custom was to grind with a hand mill, she must do that. She must do it herself, because there's not that much of an effort involved. Halacha Vav, paragraph 6. Bamed dvarim amurim ba'aniyim. When does the foregoing apply that the wife has these additional obligations when we're dealing with poor people who cannot afford maidservants? Avli mechnisa lo shivcha achas, o nechasim sheroi liknus mehem shivcha achas, o shahaisa lo shivcha achas, o shahaya lo mamik de liknus mimena shivcha achas, eina matchenes v'lo ofo v'lo mechabeses v'lo nasenes tevin lefnei behemto. If, however, she introduces into the marriage one maidservant, or enough property with which one can purchase one maidservant, or if the husband had a maidservant, or he had the money, the resources, in order to buy one maidservant, she does not have to grind, or bake, or wash clothing, or put the fodder before the animal. Hichnisa lo shtei shvachos, o nechasim harin liknas mehem shtei shvachos, o shahayu lo shtei shvachos, o shahayu roi liknas shtei shvachos, if she introduced into the marriage two maidservants, or enough property with which one can buy two maidservants, or if he had two maidservants, or if he had the means, the financial means, to purchase two maidservants, she is not even obligated to cook for him, and she doesn't even have to nurse her son. Rather, she gives the son to a wet nurse, and she nurses the child instead of the wife herself. Halacha Zayin, paragraph 7. Nimtzu kol hamalacha shekol isha osa osan labayla chamish malachas. Consequently, all of the types of work that every woman is obligated, no matter what her financial position is, to do for her husband, are a total of five types of work. And these are the five. Tova, v'rachetzes panav yada v'raglov, u'mozeges esarkos, u'matzas esamita, v'yomedes mishameshes befanav. She must spin, wash his face, hands and feet, pour his cup, spread his couch, and wait on him. Those types of work that some women have to do while others do not have to do are a total of six. The reason why they wouldn't have to do it is because they are wealthy enough to purchase a servant. Matchenes, umavashelis, vaofa, umachabesis, umanika, nosenes, tevin lefnei behemto. Grinding, cooking, baking, washing clothing, nursing the child, and putting straw, fodder, before his animal, that is, his horse. These are the six things that a woman would have to do if she cannot afford a maidservant. Halacha Ches, paragraph 8. Kol malacha sha isha osa labayla, nida osa labayla. Chutz b'mezigas hakos, v'hatzos hamita, v'harchatzos panav yada v'raglov. All the kinds of work that a wife is required to perform for her husband, she may perform also even while she is a nida, while she is in her menstrual period, except pouring his cup, spreading his couch, and washing his face, hands, and feet. This she is not permitted to do, and the reason for it is gzeira mishum hirhur, shema yavo livo. It's a precaution, lest the husband will be brought to having improper thoughts that will lead him to having relations with her, which is, of course, forbidden. Lefichach matzas mitasak shehi nida shlo b'fanav, umezeges esakos, ve'enen nasenes osa b'yado kedar katamid, elamanachas osa al haaretz, o al akli, o al shulchan, v'hu notlo. Because of this reason, during this period, she should spread his couch when he is not present. That is, she could make his bed in a very special way. Even so, she's allowed to do it when he is not present, because it won't lead to any improper thoughts under these conditions. Likewise, she's allowed to pour his cup, but she doesn't put it in his hand as she normally does, but she just puts it on the ground or in another utensil or on the table, and the husband is then permitted to take it, as long as he doesn't take it directly from his wife when she is in her period of nida. Halacha test, paragraph 9. Ha'isha sheshavra kelim be'eis she'asa samalacha seha betoch be'isa p'tura ve'einze min hadin ela takana. If a wife breaks utensils while doing her work in the house, she is exempt. She's not liable for it. But this is not because legally she's not liable, but it's by an enactment of the sages to that effect. And the reason is as follows. She'im einata omer kein ein shalom betocha bayis la'olam. Because if you will not say this, if you will not accept this enactment, there will never be peace in the house. Because the wife will be so frightened and so intimidated, she will be very careful and she will refrain from doing most types of work, lest she will come to break something. And that, of course, will bring to quarrels between the two. Halacha Yud, paragraph 10. Kol isha shetimna malasas malacha min hamalacha shehi chayebes lasoson kofin osa viosa. Afilu bashot, any woman who refrains from doing any of the types of work that she's obligated to do, she may be coerced into doing it, even if it requires using a whip. Ton hu she'eina osa v'hi omera she'eina nimnas malasos, if he argues that she's not doing it, while she says that she has not hesitated and she has not refrained from doing these types of work, there's a dispute between the two, who do we believe? Mashivan isha b'neim o she'enim. We use another woman or neighbors to act as mediators. And these people will see as to what her true behavior is. Even though normally a woman is not acceptable as a witness, here, in order to preserve shalom bayis, the peace in the home, they did allow a woman, a friend, to be in this position. And all this depends on what the judge sees fit and most appropriate in handling this matter. It should be noted that the Rambam statement that even a whip can be used, even physical force can be used, is contested by the Ravid, the Rambam's greatest critic, and he says, "Me'olam lo shamati yisur shotim l'nashim." I've never heard of the use of whips with respect to one's wife. Halach Yiral, paragraph 11. Ha'isha kolz man shehimanika as bina pochasim la b'masi yadeha u'masifim la amazon aseha. Yayin udvarim sheyafim l'chalav. As long as the wife is nursing her child, the amount of her work should be reduced, while the food that is given to her should be augmented with wine and other things that are beneficial for lactation, for the milk. Paskal amazonas haruyas la v'harihi misavol echel yoser olechel machalos acheris mipnei chali hataiva sheyesh la bibitna harezo achelos mishala kol ma shetirza. Ve'ein habal yachal la'akev v'lomar she'im tocha yosem medai o tocha macholim ra'im yomus avlad mepnei shetzar gufer kodem. If after she was given the food that the husband is obligated to give her, she develops a craving for more food or for any other kinds of food due to an abnormal craving in her stomach, she may eat all that she desires at her own expense, and her husband may not hinder her by claiming that if she eats too much or eats harmful food, the child will die, for the suffering of her own body has priority. Halacha Yud Beis, paragraph 12. Yolda ta'omim ein kovenos lahanik shneim elamaniko echad v'socha habal maniko l'sheni. If she gives birth to twins, she cannot be compelled to nurse both of them. She nurses one of them, and she hires a wet nurse for the second. That is, the husband must hire, at his expense, a wet nurse for the second child. If the wife desires to nurse the child of her friend along with her own child, the husband could prevent her from doing so and make sure that she nurses only his son alone. Halach Yud Gimel, 13. Nadra shelo lahanik his bina kofa osa umenikasa ad sheyeh ben chavdalet chodesh. Echad hazachar ve'echad hanekeva. If the wife vows not to nurse her child, the husband may compel her to nurse the child until it is 24 months old, regardless of whether it is a boy or a girl. The reason why she's allowed to violate the vow is because the vow takes no effect, because you cannot vow against the obligation that you already have, and this is part of her obligation. He omeres, ani onik es bini, v'hu in the road to shetanik ishto kadesh lo tisnavil, afu pish yesh la kamish fachos. If the wife says, I will nurse my child, but the husband does not wish his wife to nurse because nursing may make her unattractive, we honor the wish of the wife, even if she has several maidservants, because it is painful for her to be separated from her child. Halacha Yudalit 14. Haisa aniya, shehi chayebis lahanik as bino, v'hari hu ashi, shiroi lo shalot tanik ishto. Aval pisha ein lo shvachos im lo ratzisa lahanik socha menika okona shivcha mipnei shaisha ola imbaila v'eina yeredes. If she is poor, and consequently she is obligated to nurse her child, but the husband is affluent enough to free his wife from nursing, and if she is unwilling to nurse, the husband must, even if he has no maidservants, hire a wet nurse or purchase a maidservant, because a woman can only rise in status with her husband and not descend. So even though she is poor, and she might have the obligation if she was married to someone who was likewise poor, now that he is rich, she does not maintain her status, but she maintains and rises to a higher status, the status of her husband. Halacha Tezva 15. He omeris, roi hu liskar, o likno shivcha, v'hu omer, eina roi, oleha lahavi raya, v'ein kamakim lishvua. If she says, my husband is fit, and he's wealthy enough to hire or to purchase a maidservant, while he says, I'm not fit, she has to bring the proof, and there is no basis for any oath over here. Because she is the one who's trying to release herself from her obligation, she has to bring proof. Halacha Tezayin 16. Ha'isha shenizgar she'en kofa nosa lahanik, el im ratzisa nosa loschara u'menikaso. A woman who is divorced may not be compelled to nurse her child, but if she is willing to do so, her ex-husband may pay her her fee, and she may then nurse the child. V'im lo ratzisa, nosenes lo as beno, v'hu metapel bo. And if she does not want to nurse the child, she gives the husband her son, her child, and he must attend to its needs. Amed dvar mamurim, when does this apply? Shlo hanika oso ad shehikira. Av'im hikira, v'afilu husuma ein mafrishin oso me'imo mepnei sakonas havlad. If she never nursed her son until the time that the child recognizes the mother, but if the child already recognizes the mother, even if the child is blind, we do not separate the child from the mother because it could endanger the life of the child. But instead, we compel the mother, and she nurses the child for a fee until the child is 24 months old. Halacha Yudzayin, paragraph 17. Hagrusha ein lamazonos. A divorcee is not entitled to food to be fed from her husband's estate. Afal pisha himanika as bina, even if she is still nursing her son. Alvanosim la yoser al schara dvarim shahakatan sarach lahem miksus or machal amashke v'sicha v'kayotze bazeh. Her husband, however, must give her, in addition to her fee, such things as the child may need in the way of clothing, food, beverage, ointment, and the like. Aval hamuberes ein la klum. However, a pregnant woman has no claim to any of these things. Once the child is born, then the husband will pay her for nursing, but while she is still pregnant, he is not obligated to give her anything, since she is divorced. Shom l'chadasha mugumalatu im ratzasa hamugeresha sheyia b'na etzla ein mafrishin osamina ad sheyia ben sheishanim gemuros. If the months of nursing are completed and the child is weaned, the rule is as follows. If the divorcee is willing to keep the child with her, the child should not be separated from her until it is fully 6 years old. Ela kofinus aviv v'nosel omezonos v'hu etzel imo. But we compel the father to provide food for the child while it remains with its mother. V'achar sheishanim yesh lo avlomar imhu etzli etel omezonos v'imhu etzel imo lo etel omezonos. Now, after 6 years, the fathers can say, well, if the child will be with me, then I will feed the child. I will provide for its sustenance. But if the child is going to be with its mother, I will not provide for its sustenance. Because after 6 years of age, the father is obligated to educate his son. But all of this is dealing with a son. Habas etzel ima la'olam afilo la'achashesh. However, a daughter remains with the mother forever, even after 6 years. And the reason for this is, first of all, the mother is the one who is more capable of taking care of all her daughter's needs with her dress, getting dressed, and giving her her makeup, and so on and so forth, which the father is not that qualified and capable of providing for. Likewise, the father is also exempt from teaching her Torah, and therefore there's no reason why the father should have the right to take the child after six, as is the case with the son. Halacha Yudches, Ketzad, how so? Haya ha'avroy l'tzdaka, matziyim imena ha'roy lo balkarcho, v'zanin osa v'hi eitz l'ima. If the father was fit, that means he can afford to give charity, an appropriate amount should be forcibly seized from him to feed his daughter therewith, while she remains with her mother. Rafilin this says ha'em la'acher bita etzla v'avio zan osa mishum tzdaka ad sheyamo sa'av v'tizam enachasav acher moso b'tznoik suba v'hi etzel ima. And even if the mother gets married to someone else, and the daughter remains with the mother, and the father must provide sustenance because of charity until the father dies, then she is then supported, she's fed from his estate after his death, based on the stipulation of the ksuba, even as she is together with her mother. The imla ratasa ha'em sheyiyu baneha etzla achas shegemalasam echad tzcharim v'echad nekevos harashuz b'yadav en osenas osam laviyem o mishalechas osam lakohol im ein lahem av v'hem etaplum behem. What happens if the mother is unwilling to have her children? It makes no difference whether they're male or female. She doesn't want them to remain with her after she had weaned them. She is permitted to refuse to have them, and she either turns them over to their father, or if they have no father, she casts them upon the community, and the community must attend to the needs of the children, because the woman is not obligated to raise her children. However, some commentaries say that nevertheless she is obligated to provide them with food because of charity, because a woman is also obligated to give charity. However, since the woman would like to remarry, and there might be men that would refrain from marrying her because of the burden of having to support the children, therefore, she might want to give the children to the father or to the community. But nevertheless, she is still obligated to support them according to her capacity. She can only give them to the father or to the community in order for them to take care of the children, but the actual financial support, if she's capable, must come from her because of the obligation of charity, just as it would be with regard to the father. With this, the Rambam concludes Perik Chaf Aleph, the Hilchas Ishus, chapter 21, the laws concerning marriage.